Now, the other thing going on with Chris Watson, I'm going to think about whether we even put this audio up that's floating around on the internet. But there's apparently a call between Chris Watts and I think a woman named Anna and some unknown guy on the other side that was telling Chris Watts that he is just a victim of this entire situation. And it sounds like he's reviewing the discovery. And Chris Watts goes off and talks about how he wants to do a 35C. And then he starts talking about how there's the fruit of the poisonous tree and Brady information, and how he just doesn't think that the mission that God has put him on earth for means that he should remain in custody. And this unidentified individual then states that, Chris, you know, you got screwed. We're going to help you get out. It's all part of just a big game.
Hey, buddy, how's it going?
Not too bad. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, is it just you or is Anna on also?
I'm here too.
All right, cool. All right, so just talk to me. I don't want to be the one monopolizing the conversation. So tell me what you want to know from me, or tell me what's on your heart.
Well, you know, just going to law library as much as I have, I see a lot of cases. I've heard a lot of cases around here. I've seen a lot of cases where, you know, the DA or the judge have had a lot of misconduct, but a judge has ruled, say, well, it's not egregious enough, or it's not that, you know, that wow factor enough to really, you know, sway in the defendant's favors. I'm looking at the things that I know. I mean, I've never dealt with a lot of people with all this. I mean, I'm swinging it in a ball up there as I am. And, you know, God directed me through little things, like, you know, through the poisonous tree, the Brady law, and different cases that, you know, just, it popped out of nowhere, but I know if God put in front of me, and I see all these things that relate to my case, I just don't know, like, how to frame this, where, like when I do this 35C, like, I've had this paperwork with me for probably a couple months, and I know I only have, like, a year left to appeal some of those Class B and C felonies that's, like, a three-year limit, and, or two-year limit, and I really want to figure this out where I can do it in the right time frame, but also, like, not rushing anything. And I just want to get out of here. I want to get, I know that God has a plan for me, and it's to be in prison right now, but it's not stay here. Because he brought me here for a reason, but he also wants me to just put me outside. I know I just can't sit here and just wait. I know there's waiting, doing nothing, and just waiting that I'm speaking in action, or that's what I'm doing, but I also want to know, like, what action to take, because I have no intellect when it comes to the law, but I know he can teach me, and that's what I'm just waiting for, like, things to fall in place. I just don't know how to do it.
I got you. And you don't have the benefit of an attorney that is in your hip pocket, so to speak. Okay. I've got a couple attorneys here I can talk to that can maybe help you know, get some good results, get some good advice for you in terms of forms and what to say, things like that. That's not going to be an overnight process for me to, you know, get the results, you know, we want. It's going to take some time, but you know, I'm not saying overnight, but I am saying maybe several days or a week or so. So let me see what I can do along those lines. Because I know you're in a tough spot, and it's how do you know how to do something when you don't know what it is you need to do? So it's tough. So I get it.
It's not my error thing, but I know when the law is like, all right, you're gonna run into certain things where the motion's gonna get denied, or like whatever I write down, the judge might think, well, what you're claiming isn't enough to go back to. You're not warranted a trial, you're not warranted to have the appeal granted, you know, denied. And it's like, well, you know, what do I do then? You know?
Yeah.
And I don't want to get, you know, disheartened when that happens. I know it'll probably happen at some point, but not all motions are draw a field for granted. That's why I want to figure out like this the right way. Where when it goes there, they see like, oh well, you know, like do I put everything down that I know, or just like I don't want to put everything down so they know everything that I'm on, you know?
Well, okay, let me address a couple things in what you just said. First of all, you live in a closed society now. Every door is shut in your face. You cannot go from one, you go to one wall, you can't go further. You got to turn your left, you can't go any further. So, you know what I'm saying? You're in this perpetual, this room with no door. So you cannot get through. You got that? You understand that? What I'm trying to say? So your world is controlled. You hear the word no probably more than you hear the word yes in that system. So one thing you need to be very accustomed to is being denied, being turned down, being told no. You with me?
Yep.
Okay. Now, some people will lose hope very, very quickly because everywhere they turn, every time they talk to someone, they're hearing things they don't want to hear. They're being told no, you can't do this, you can't have that, you can't go here, you can't go there. Whatever legal action you're trying to do. Whatever you're trying to do, you're always being told no. What you can't do is allow yourself to lose hope. Don't take no for an answer. And don't give up the first time you're told no. You understand?
Yeah.
So the key in all this is you got to be strong. You got to be physically strong. You got to be mentally strong. And you've got to understand that, you know what? You're the underdog, but underdogs can win. They can be a dog in the fight. So I want you to get this attitude that no matter what you do, we're not going to take no for an answer. They tell us no, we're going to try again. They tell us no again, we're going to try again. You've just got to keep persevering and don't lose hope, okay? Because I'll tell you what, you lose hope, you lose your life, all right? So just keep a positive attitude about all that and don't take any steps back. Just keep moving forward. Even if it's a small step, move forward and not backward. Okay?
Okay. Just like in my devotional today, it's Esther. It was a door of hope. And yes, the Lord was speaking to Esther. And she was saying to the Lord, I've led you to the wilderness, but I will plant in that wilderness vineyards. If you go through the valley of Kor, which is the valley of trouble, I'll put a door of hope. But even though you're in a wilderness, you're going to plant vineyards in that wilderness. So you're in the valley of trouble, there's going to be a door of hope in that trouble.
That's great. Well, I'm proud of you. Good job. Keep that up. Keep your nose in that book too.
I will.
Yeah.
So, Chris, what were you saying before we got cut off about when he asked, I can't remember what it was, but you were talking about the evidence and your confession that wasn't true.
I just know that, like, I've never experienced anything like this before, like from the tragedy that happened, from the law enforcement, to the interrogation, the jail, the prison, all this was new. All this stuff against me, but I know that from that interrogation, to the first one, and all that was like a coercive type psychological intimidation of someone that, you know, had never been in that situation before, and they just used that to their advantage.
Well, Chris, what you witnessed firsthand is a game. It's like getting back to the old biblical days where you've got the big Roman soldier in the pen with, you know, the little guy, and you're fighting for your life, and you don't know what to expect, but you just, that's a terrible analogy, and I'm sorry, but I'm just saying, you just didn't know what was going on, and it's a game. That's what I tell so many people. This is a game that they're playing. You are the prey. They're the hunter. You're the prey, and they've got you exactly where they want you. And they're going to get, most times they're going to get what they want, because you know what? They keep you for hours. They deprive you of your basic needs. And as every second that you're with them in that chair and they're bearing down on you, your mind is actually deteriorating. Your mind is playing games against you. And that's why we have so many times where people give confessions for things that they just did not do. And it's because, you know what? They want to get out of there. They want to just tell them what they need to know, what they're asking, what they're interested in, so they can get out and go home. Well, you know what? The thing, guess what doesn't happen? They don't go home. And their life is forever changed. So it's...
After I told them what they wanted to hear, then they offered me food.
Exactly.
So strange. But the thing I know, like what you're talking about playing a game, is when the FBI agent and the FBI agent, like when the FBI first, the woman, when she like questioned me for hours, and then after those hours of interrogation, she puts me on a polygraph. And then I'm like, you know, exhausted at this point. And then after that, like, I'm sitting in there alone, and I hear them. I hear them outside the door. You know, the FBI agent comes up to, "Oh, how did you do?" And she said, "Oh, he did pretty good, but I think we get some more out of him." And they come in with this game face saying, "Okay, you lied." I'm thinking to myself, "Wait, I thought she just said I did pretty good." And I didn't question about it. I just believe what she said, and I think that I made it. But I know for a fact she said, "You did pretty good, but I think we get some more out of him." I'll only think about this stuff way after it happened.
All right, Chris, that's a little game. And I can tell you for a fact that they did not administer the polygraph in the proper way. You should have been on the top of your game, mentally, physically, spiritually, when they gave you that polygraph. You should have had a good night's rest. You should have before they gave you that polygraph. So I don't trust the polygraph. I don't trust the results. And they use that. They use that as a hammer over your head to scare you, because the polygraph scares everyone because of its reputation. We can talk more about that later.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking another call. I think you got like 30 seconds left, but I know that, you know, God can lead me on how to write this thing up to get it back. And I just thank you for helping me and just going to that discovery. I mean, you don't have to do it, but you're doing it. And I just believe that got
some
information on your heart that's really
gonna freak
this thing open too.
Good. We're with you.
All right, he got cut off.
All right. Okay. Next time that you need me to come online, Anna, do this. Call me. And then if I don't answer immediately, text me.
Okay.
So I have to tell you, my phone screws up sometimes and I don't want to miss a call or a text, so just as a backup plan.
Okay.
All right, is there anything we need to talk about?
Nope, I'm just going to call his parents now and let them know.
Okay.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, just stay in touch with me.
I will. And if he calls back and wants to talk again, then I'll just text you or call you.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.